Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 26. John has concern for the church because there are people coming in behind him saying kind of crazy, goofy things and getting them off track in terms of their walk with the Lord, but he encourages them. He says, "These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Okay, he's telling him basically in verse 27, you have an anointing which you received from him. In other words, the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit living in us, apart from the fact that he'll never leave us or forsake us, we'll never be alone again, we have the constant companionship of God's presence on the inside of us, and that's a wonderful thing. Not only that, but the joy of the Lord is there in a powerful way. You can have a powerful prayer language with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He can strengthen you. There's all kinds of things that the Holy Spirit can do in you that can help you. One of the things that he'll do too is he'll teach you. He's a teacher on the inside of you. And that's a powerful thing to know. Now, again, he's dealing with people, teachers, who are false teachers, who come through and were kind of twisting scriptures and doing different things and getting their focus off Jesus, getting their hearts off track. And so he's saying, hey, you want to know something? You have a teacher living on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. Now, clearly the Scripture is very strong about the ministry of the teacher. You can see that in Ephesians chapter 4 and throughout other areas of Scripture. So it's not doing away with the ministry of the teacher, but in the context of false teachers or people who might try to dissuade you or persuade you away from the faith, you got to realize there is a teacher who abides, who stays on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And he will be there. He'll stay with you. Jesus said he'll stay with you forever. So, another scripture along these lines. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. A very powerful, you know, this is one of the things that makes Christianity so alive, so distinctive. I mean, God has sent the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. What does it mean to make Jesus the Lord of your life in giving him lordship in your life? It's really allowing the ministry of the Holy Spirit to have his way on the inside of you, to let him teach you, to let him lead you, to let him guide you into all truth. One of the biggest questions that I get probably as a pastor is simply, how can I hear from God? I've got serious decisions to make in my life. I've got some crossroads, directions. It's door number one, door number two, door number three, and I don't want to miss it. How can I know what God wants me to do? How can I know that that next step I'm about to take is God's plan for my life? Is it really possible? Can I know? And this morning, I just want to minister along the lines of how to hear from God. And I want to talk about it, and especially it seems like this time of year, the spring, you know, is when there's, you know, things are made new in nature, and it seems like it's a big decision time of the year as well too, for people to make decisions perhaps about school and direction and relationships and stuff like that. And it's important for you to know that God's will for your life is to hear from his Spirit, to lead you and to guide you into all truth. That's his design, that's his plan. And that's a big purpose, again, of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And I really want to talk this morning about how to hear from God, and I want to make this as practical as possible. Okay? I'm going to try to stay away from real high level. I mean, we'll talk about spiritual principles that might seem high level, but I really want to bring it down to where we live, and I really want you to have a sense and a confidence to know that you can hear from God. It's not just something out there for the other person. It's for you for now. I love what Romans says. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I like to just put an equal sign there. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. Are you a child of God? You should be led by the Spirit of God. It's the same number. The exact same number of children of God are the exact same number that are led by the Spirit of God. In other words, Jesus wasn't just saying this for the apostles, and then we have to hear what... as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God gave us His Holy Spirit. John was talking to those believers here. This is probably 90 AD. This is probably 60 years after Jesus said what He said. Here, you know, John's telling the church as a whole, you have the anointing who abides in you. And so this is something that belongs to every believer in the church. And it's powerful to help us to know how to hear from God. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look very specifically at how to hear from God. And as we're ministering along these lines, whatever that decision is, maybe that you've got in your heart, your mind, that direction, just kind of take inventory in your own heart and say, okay, Lord, have you been speaking this to me? And I'm just believing that the Spirit of God is going to clear some things up in hearts this morning about direction for your life. He's going to make some things very clear and revelation to your heart and to your mind. So how to hear from God? What does that look like in real life when a person hears from God? First of all, and I think this is one of the, you know, this is one of the most important aspects about hearing from God, and that is, number one, you have to acknowledge Him. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask, yet ask. We think, well, He knows. Why would I have to ask? You know, why do I have to say, Lord, is it door number one, door number two, door number three? You're not saying it. You're not saying it for His information. You're not saying it to inform Him of anything. But when you begin to bring your requests to Him, it's a step of faith. Remember the scripture says, he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Prayer is a form of acknowledging that He is. All right? Proverbs says it this way, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. I love that. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. He wants us to acknowledge Him. He wants us to stand up and say, Lord, to talk to Him directly. And again, let me just kind of, as you're thinking maybe about your situation, maybe you've worried about that situation. Maybe you've picked up the phone and talked to other people about that situation. Maybe you've kind of been in your own mind thinking, what am I going to do next? But have you prayed? Have you really stopped and asked God directly in prayer, Lord, I could do this, this, and this. I'm acknowledging You. What should I do? Well, that's just so simple. The things of God are simple. He just does things that way. It's not, I mean, you could worry about it and have you earn no points with God. When you get worked. God just loves, it means that childlike faith. It's childlike faith from day one when you come to the cross. Humble yourself as a child, call on His name, receive that love. And it's, there is going to be those simple humbling steps where it's like, okay, Lord, praise God, I'm acknowledging You. I want to know, do You want me to do this? Do You not want me to do this? Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Here's another scripture along these lines. Philippians simply says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now again, you'll notice here in that verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, and praise God. You know, it doesn't just stop there, period. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, you have a choice. You're either going to worry and get anxious, or you're going to release it in prayer, in request. And that word supplication means definite request. And so before we hear from God, and again, I just want to have you just take inventory of your own heart. Have I really prayed about this? Have I on purpose asked the Lord What do you want me to do? And as I kind of go through, I'm going to give you an example in my life. This is a sheet dated back August 15th, 2000. And what I'm ministering to you this morning is an exercise that I have personally walked through time and time and time again. And I remember as I was sitting there in the middle of my office on that summer afternoon, with the stirring in my heart, knowing God wanted me to do something, but I just didn't quite know what. And just, Lord, what is it? I just kind of, you know, I feel a bit like a fish out of water. I feel like I'm in transition. I feel like you're getting me ready for something, but I don't quite know what that something is. I need to hear from you. And so the first thing I did on the paper here was I just acknowledged him. And this is when me and Julie knew that we were going into ministry someday. You know, and I was programming at the time, and it was a situation where the Lord just led me to do this, to just begin to write out on a sheet of paper, what are those things that I could do? At the time, we were thinking about pioneering a church, you know, in a suburb of in Minnesota. Or I could go back to Rhema for a third year. Or we could help our pastors who were getting ready to start a church in Menominee, Wisconsin. Or I could stay where I was and just continue to serve in the church. But I wrote those things out. And I remember specifically on purpose lifting every one of those things and saying, Lord, these are the options that I have in my heart. I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm going to make request, supplication with thanksgiving. And in the meantime, until I get that direction, your peace that passes my understanding will keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But step one, before you hear from God, is you make sure that you've given Him something to respond to. Remember Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. We have a part to play, don't we? It's not what we have bottled up in our head, our mind. We have to ask, seek, knock. There is something about that that's faith that pleases God. It's something that causes God to respond to you. So, again, number one, how to hear from God? First of all, make sure you've acknowledged God. Make sure you've put it out there. I would encourage you to do something like this. Get a piece of paper if you've got to. Date it, because sometimes you can forget that you prayed. You know, and the enemy will come up and, you know. And it's easy to feel like, oh, did I pray? But yes, I did. I prayed on such and such a date. I've committed that to the Lord. And that peace that passes my understanding is going to keep my heart and mind till I get that answer. And so it can help. It can help to write it down. But acknowledge Him. And then the next, now as we've done kind of our part, all right? Now the next few things that I want to talk about is how God responds to that request. How can we, little old me and you, hear from God Almighty for His plan for our lives? Oh, it's His plan, His desire, His purpose. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. It's family. It's normal. It's natural. But this is how God speaks to us. And here we go. We're going to begin to look at the word peace. Peace. All right? I kind of call it the peace test. Colossians 3:15 says this. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God, in other words, the peace of God is in your heart. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. My peace I leave with you. There's a peace of God that's in your heart. Let it rule. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. Here's the same verse in the Amplified. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, and that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. One of the ways the Holy Spirit on the inside of you communicates, teaches, leads, guides you into all truth is by the peace of God that's on the inside. It's hard, you know, you have emotions to feel with, okay? Your emotions can feel things. And I'm not talking about a feeling. Your spirit perceives things. It's deeper than feelings. You see, because when you get a peace, God's peace is a peace that passes your understanding. It'll pass your feelings. In other words, you have a peace about something, and you don't even have a total, you don't even totally understand. There's just a peace that comes about this of the decisions. You know, whatever your decision is, you can make, there's pros and cons to all of them, all right? You take, well, I could do this, but then you got that. Like if I did this, then I'd have this, but then I'd have that, you know? And so, as you're kind of looking at it, you've got those things. So you're understanding, if you're a lawyer, you can make a case for yourself to do any of those options, all right? That's why we need the Spirit of God, to rule and to override and to give us peace, because one of those options is just going to have the peace of God on it. Not that the other options aren't good or aren't valid, or might be valid for somebody else, or maybe valid for you 10 years from now. But for now, right now, a particular option just seems to have peace. There just seems to be grace on that particular option. And you know how it is when you're praying to God, and maybe there are situations that you're praying for God to give you favor with people or situations, you're praying God's favor. That, what is God's favor? It's that thing that just makes people like you. All right? And they don't even maybe know why they like you. But they'll just like you. Well, the peace of God is kind of almost like that in reverse. It'll make you like things. It'll make you like opportunities and situations you don't even quite know fully, because you can, but it's like you have a favor. You have favor. This situation has your favor because you have God's peace. And it's like you don't always fully know, but it's like, yeah, I could do that, but boy, I just keep coming back to that. There is something right. There's a connection. There is a connection there that just overrides everything else. Here's another beautiful peace test. James 3, 17 through 18. You know, James 1, let me say, is a powerful... James chapter 1 is that passage. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and he doesn't withhold. In other words, I'm crying out, God, I need wisdom in this situation. And thank God, he will promise, he will give it to you. Well, when that wisdom comes, this is what it looks like. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's a peace of God that's on His wisdom. And I love the description of His wisdom. There is a security in the wisdom that's from above. You understand? A lot of people kind of have the attitude, well, if I'm right and I've heard from God, I don't have to hear the other side because I heard from God and I'm right. Interestingly enough, if you really have heard from God and you really are right truly, you'll be willing to yield. You'll be willing to hear the other side. That's security. That's evidence that you probably have heard from God. If you can't do that, you can't hear the other side, you might want to check up on your wisdom. When He speaks to you, when that wisdom comes, there will just be a peace about it. It'll be something that's... I'm sorry. There will be a peace about it that is true, that's pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to... All those adjectives, there's a continuity about them. Full of mercy and good fruits. It's a wisdom that doesn't have a chip on its shoulder. That doesn't have an angry agenda. It's full of mercy and good fruits. And it's without partiality and it's without hypocrisy. It doesn't kind of look at you one way and look at itself another way. No, same lens. That wisdom comes from God. When you get that kind of wisdom, man, whether it shows stuff up on you, it might be even incriminating in some ways. Okay, Lord, great, get that, sir. But it's God, it's clean, it's pure, it's right, it's peaceful, it's good, it's good. And so that wisdom, that peace, that settles with finality the questions that arise in your mind, that peaceful state, this is a way that God will speak to you. There will be a sense, again, I kind of like to say it this way, it's a sense almost of favor that you have for one of those options or for one of those directions. you look favorably on one of them. And again, it's like, I can maybe make a stronger case for C over there. But there's something about A. Praise God. That I just sense. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. That's one of the ways He'll teach you all things. And He'll lead and guide you into all truth. There's a certain peace that'll pass your understanding. And it'll give you a sense of, this is the way. Walk in it. Now, you've probably seen the rest of the whole message there as I was leaning on my deal, but we'll keep going. Just act surprised. All right, repetition is the next one. All right. Yeah. Oh, man. Yay. Praise God. All right. Repetition. Yeah, that's perfect. You sub for it, you're going to see it again. Repetition. I am so thankful when it comes to hearing the Lord's voice for this one, for repetition. I thank God. It's not like, sometimes you hear those high-pressure sales, one time only, one time offer, now, or, if you don't act now, it's all over. It's kind of, what am I going to do? Thank God, in conjunction with peace, there is repetition. In other words, God will just keep bringing it back to you. Keep bringing it back to you. It's a very sweet form of nagging, okay? It's a good thing. It's a good nagging. It's that thing, it's like, oh, boy, well, I thought that was just me. Well, maybe it isn't me. I don't know. Maybe I'll take another closer look at that. But there's repetition. And I'm so thankful. That's a picture of God's mercy, isn't it? Where you don't have to even get it right necessarily the first time. He'll keep coming back. We had a teacher at Rhema who would say, hey, if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to get all upset. You don't have to get anxious. Just, He'll get it to you. And He'll bring it to you. And He'll make it clear in your spirit. And I was so, and here's the scripture. I love this. 2 Corinthians 13:1. It says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Talk about repetition. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. This is kind of courtroom talk. But that word right there, he says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. That's the word rhema. That's the spoken word of God. In other words, those perceptions of His direction that you get in your heart, He will confirm that word. He'll confirm the rhemas that you get in your heart. Two or three witnesses. Again, it's another beautiful picture of repetition. Repetition. And as I was sitting there, and let me just say this. Repetition can come from different forms, all right? You might have that thing come back to you in your own heart and mind. Or you might be talking to a brother or sister in the foyer, and they may just mention something. And they're talking about something and they say the exact word that you had in your mind that's related to that thing in your heart. And they didn't even know they said it. But they said it and then the Holy Ghost said that word. It's like reverberated in your heart and your mind. You can get it through fellowship. You could get it through a message on at church. You could get it while you're reading your Bible. A word can jump out. Gifts of the Spirit are very powerful for this. I praise God. We're not led by prophecy, but prophecy can be a real help and a real aid as a confirming witness, repetition, to confirm direction in our lives. And so there are different multifaceted ways that repetition can come. And again, kind of going back to my, that summer afternoon on the floor of my office, as I was just praying about those specific areas and acknowledging God in my possibilities. The Spirit of God said something so profound to me, so simple, and it actually caused the right answer to jump out at me. So I was acknowledging the Lord, lifting up my options to Him, and the Spirit of God simply spoke. When I say the Spirit of God spoke, I don't mean that I heard it with ears on my head. I mean I had this spontaneous thought pop into my mind that I knew I hadn't thought of myself. Another cool thing about walking with God. Oh, I'll tell you, that's fellowship. It's intimacy. It's the best thing ever. And anyway, just telling my options, and this spontaneous thought pops in my mind. The Lord just spoke, of those choices, which of those choices keeps coming back to you the most? And you know what? When I sense, when I simply keep him telling me, asking me the question, which of those keeps coming back, in other words, repetition, keeps coming back the most? It was a no-brainer. It was helping Pastor Paul and Dana start a church in Menominee, Wisconsin. I mean, that was just clear. These are people who loved us, believed in us. We loved them. It was an exciting venture and all that stuff. But then, when you do get your answer from God, or you believe you got your perception from God, then you go back to your pro and con chart and look at the cons and say, okay, Lord, but what about this? You know, at that time, you got to understand our kids are 1, 3, 5, and 7, and we'd be driving an hour and a half or so to church every Sunday morning with children 1, 3, 5, and 7. We thought, and that's why I just kept pushing it out. I said, God would never make me do that. No, that can't be God. He's a good God. He's a loving God. Right? But but yet it was amazing when I was asked that question in my heart, how many times, because we just felt such a hookup with those guys, that just kept coming back and coming back. And it was like, wow, you know, praise God. You know, maybe, you know, when you get that sense of direction, God says, revisit it. And then after I got my eyes off the cons, I began to look at the pros. And there is something about, again, you can lawyer and make a case for any of the options you might have out in front of you right now. But when the peace seems to be on one, and there's a repetition that keeps coming back on one, there's another something that happens. And that's what I call revelation. And as I began to look back at those pros, it was like I got a pencil in my hand and I just began to write. And again, this is the paper right here. And I just began to write after the Lord said what keeps coming back to you the most. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God said, this is going to be a faith-building experience to pioneer, to experience the preparation process of pioneering a new work, to experience the first service, to experience building a children's ministry, to experience building a worship service, to experience being led by the Spirit of God in terms of directional leadership, experiencing the influencing of a community with the gospel, experiencing building a core group of believers. This experience will be much like a third year at Rhema. This experience will be like ministerial training wheels that will give you confidence, knowledge, and faith to take you to the next step in pioneering your own church. Whew! Praise God. And when you just begin to get revelation of those pros, those cons grow strangely dim. Because you got grace for whatever those cons are. When God says, this is the way, walk in it, whatever the cons are, there's grace for it because this is God's direction. And we had grace, a year and a half, 2 years that we were there. We had grace. Praise God, the Barney videos helped, definitely Caleb along the way. But we had grace. You know, it was amazing. You know how you picture something in your mind, and boy, it was amazing. The Lord blessed us. But I'll tell you what, revelation comes. And what does the Scripture says in Ephesians? This is the Apostle Paul praying for the Ephesian church. He says, we do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Look at this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. That's a powerful prayer. This is the Apostle Paul praying, oh, Father, give these Ephesians wisdom, revelation, that they can know the hope of your calling, that they can see what you want them to do and get a revelation of that hope and walk in it. Praying for the Colossians, similar. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Praise God. In other words, you're not going to have a victim complex. There's going to be joy. Even as you're going to have areas where you're going to need patience as you're going through some things. Patience with joy. I love that. That's totally God. That's, religion is just long-suffering period martyr complex. With God, it's long-suffering with joy. There is peace. Don't feel sorry for me. No way. Praise God. I'm doing what God's called me to do. Wouldn't be rather doing anything else. And I'll tell you what, you carry yourself that way, and you're thankful for what God has given you, what He's blessed you with. And but you got to realize that when God begins to show you things, there's revelation. One more example, Acts 20. The Apostle Paul says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things which will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of Christ." There is something that happens here. What did Jesus say? He said, if you'll lose yourself, you'll find yourself. There is a focus on the will and the plan of God for your life that will cause you to say, okay, Lord, here we go. Whatever you want to do, that's what I want to do. You know, and as God changes you, and sometimes you might wonder, you know, sometimes, I don't know. What we're talking about, peace, repetition, revelation, these are all kind of perception stuff. Why doesn't God just write it out there where I can see it? Like somebody's saying, where's the schematic? I just want to look at this thing, all right, and see exactly where I'm going. But God doesn't deal with us that way, does He? He deals with us with these kind of perception things that require faith, that require us to look to Him, to trust Him. And I'll tell you some stuff that's happened to me as I've been following Him. He changes you. He causes you to trust Him. You know, you will begin to just, you know, I love the Hebrew writer says, you know, lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset you and run with patience the race that is set before you. When you get your eyes on the race that is set before you, it will cause you to set aside those weights and sins. It's no longer, what can I get away with and still be a Christian? No. Those things are muddling my mind. They're interfering with that clear peace and revelation that God wants to give me. I'm going to lay aside the sin. You know, it's not to be holier than thou, because I want to run this race that is set before me. And that's the problem with sin. It's like ankle weights. It's weights and it slows you down. It's like, no. As you're beginning to get direction for your life, you will find God will also concurrently work with you on your consecration and sanctification. And it kind of works that way. It's not like you're planning to be holier than thou. You got a big list of do's and don'ts. But it's just like, I need more of God. I want to be more clear in my spirit. You just find yourself maybe watching less certain things and putting on more inspiring faith, spirit-feeding things, and it happens that way. And it's not religious. It's a living relationship with God. And there's more that happens than just getting direction. It's a walk with Him, and there's a clarity of thought, and there's a sanctification process that happens. And that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, man, when you get sanctified, you become useful for the Master because you get focused on Him. So as we're talking about how can I hear from God, you kind of get some of these things that I want God. I'm going to lay aside weights and sins. I'm going to get focused on what God has called me to do. And as you do, more stuff than happens than just getting that direction. It changes you. You lose your life and you find it. You lay down some things. Not to lay them down to be proud that I don't do this or say that anymore. Nah, that has no value. You lay it down as you're looking forward to do what God has called you to do. It's weights that beset your race. And you get so focused on the race, I don't want anything besetting my race. You look at the really good runners, they've got it so streamlined that they, you know, they don't have a lot of big, heavy stuff on them. You know, they've just got it streamlined where they're efficient in how they're able to go. And you just kind of get that way as you begin to run this race. I'm setting things aside. I'm going to get efficient. I'm going to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to me. There is revelation. And then finally, there is instruction. Okay? Praise God for His peace. Thank God for His repetition and His mercy and His sticking with you. And praise God for revelation that kind of gives you the purpose behind the direction. But even once you've got that general direction, you'll also find that the Lord will give you instruction. And when I'm talking about instruction, I'm not talking about giving you the, you know, that whole schematic of everything. But a lot of time, that instruction that the Lord gives you will just be the next step. That's what I found in my life. Just the next thing to do. The Apostle Paul, when he had the great call on his life, when he got saved, Acts chapter 9, we read about it. The Apostle Paul, for those who don't know, the Apostle Paul, before he was Apostle Paul, he was Saul. And he was not the guy who loved the church. He was the guy who despised the church. He was ripping families apart and throwing Christians in jail. And the Lord dealt with him on that road to Damascus. And he realized that Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah. And so there he is, looking up into the glory of God with a question. So he, Paul, well, Saul at the time, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" The Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. That's an amazing thing. The first instruction for the Apostle Paul was simply, go to the city. Now he ends up writing half the books of the New Testament. But the Lord didn't tell him he would do that. He just said, go to the city. You'd be told what you must do. And in the city there's a guy named Ananias. And the Lord prophesied to Ananias all the things that Paul's going to do. He said, man, this guy's going to experience suffering, he's going to pain, but he's going to deliver the gospel. He's giving Ananias his blueprint for Paul's life. Why didn't he give Paul that right there? He said, Paul, you just go into the city. It'll be told you. Yeah, it was told him by Ananias. We don't orchestrate this thing, do we? We don't coordinate it. We look up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do next? He tells you to go into the city, go into the city. You know, you're going to get so much light. You will keep walking by faith. And when you go there, it's an amazing thing. When you go and do what God has told you to do, there's favor there when you get there. That's not here now. And when you're in that place and doing the next thing He's told you to do, in that place of favor, then you've got direction to see the next step and the next step. But there will be instruction attached to His direction. He'll give you that next step. It could be restoring a relationship. He'll just give you a next step. It could be write a letter. It could be send a gift. Whatever it is, God will just show you the next thing. There will be peace, repetition, keeps coming back, revelation. And, you know, it's those elements are there, along with instruction. There's something to do. It's not the hearer of the word that's blessed. It's the doer of the word. And let me say that. It's not the hearer, you know, we think of that in terms of the written word. It's not the hearer of the word that's blessed. It's the doer. But it's also true in terms of the rhema word. It's not the hearer of the word that's blessed, it's the doer. God's given me things by rhema, and I have not acted on everything God has given me that I knew is God. And didn't talk to that person and didn't do that thing. Have you ever done that before? The doer of the word that's blessed. So even though you get it, the peace is there, the repetition's there, the revelation's there, you still have to do it. There's an instruction. There is something to do. God is going to show you to do something next. And finally, just the scripture, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And I love that, you know, verse 12. There's things I want to say to you now, but you can't bear them. That's another limiting factor in terms of what God can tell you. Because you're equipped right now for this point in time. And that next step is going to further equip you for something else. And if he's giving you stuff out here, and you don't even have the equipment, you don't have the equipment for it yet. You don't have the revelation, you don't have the understanding of his word. You might have the theological basis, but as far as that personal revelation that you're walking in terms of believing God in different areas of your life, he is taking you step by step. He's growing you up spiritually as he's giving you direction. So there's other things at play here, isn't there? Sanctification. You're beginning to change the way you live and your habits and things. It's not because, again, holier than thou stuff. It's I want to follow God. Like somebody, one of our Rhema teachers said, you know, as you go from glory to glory in God, those doors get smaller and smaller. Less of you fits through. Like John the Baptist, I must decrease, he must increase. And it's very true as you're just following God's plan and direction for your life. So how to hear from God? First things first, acknowledge him. Make sure, if you're wanting direction for your life, that you have acknowledged him. Ask, seek, knock. Let those requests be made known unto him in all your ways. Acknowledge him. If you got to sign it and date it, do it. And make sure it's there. And the enemy comes along and tries to discourage you or whatever. Say, nope, praise God. I've believed God. I'm going to let the peace of God that passes my understanding keep my heart and mind in Christ. I have acknowledged him. And then begin to check your own heart. As you know, this is why it's important also, let me say about peace. We have a part to play as far as our due diligence. If you've got option number one, two, and three, could be three colleges. Man, go to the three colleges and check out the campuses. You know, and check your heart. It's amazing how the Spirit of God can just really connect with those things. Could be three job opportunities or whatever it might be, options, is to be able to explore those. Maybe you want to start a business. Begin to, you know, Google some things about that business. Begin to pursue it. And if it begins to begin, if it's God, that peace will just continue to rest on it. But there is a natural due diligence that's not wrong, that's not bad, that's not unspiritual. It is good and godly and spiritual to do your due diligence in the natural again and give the Spirit of God something to bear witness to or not bear witness to. That's diligence. That's a good thing. And then repetition, God will continue to bring back to your heart. You know, it'll just keep coming back to you. And then finally, revelation. You not only begin to see that that's the one, but why it's the one and purpose behind it. Revelation of the hope behind that calling. And then finally, instruction. Okay, Lord, what next? What's that next step? Praise God. He's given us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are the children of God. We're led by the Spirit of God. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the precious Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, who's been sent, who lives on the inside of us. Go ahead and make this your heart's confession if you can agree with this. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Ghost. I yield myself to the Holy Ghost. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I'm a child of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I open myself to your peace to guide my heart and my mind to settle with finality questions that arise. I thank you, Jesus, for repetition. You'll bring it back again and again. Multiple witnesses to confirm the Rhema, to confirm your word. I thank you for revelation. I ask for that spirit of wisdom and revelation that I may know the hope of my calling. In Jesus, here I am. Send me. I'm ready for the next step. To walk with you. To bear much fruit for your glory. Lord Jesus, today is my day. Today is the day I call upon your name. I believe in my heart you died on the cross for my sins. Many things I don't understand. But one thing I choose to believe, you love me. I receive that love now. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.